The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. Just want to remind everybody, we did a special episode last week on, fermented cod liver oil. And there's a company out there that is not a sponsor. I'm hoping that they become a sponsor. But they make the only fermented cod liver oil available anywhere. And it's called Green Pasture, greenpasture.org. And if you are looking for a great source of both vitamin A, vitamin D, quinones, DHA, EPA, they have a fermented cod liver oil that is the whole thing, nothing synthetic about it. And you can go to greenpasture.org to check it out. I'm taking it because I know how important vitamin A is now after we did that fantastic show on vitamin A with Sally Fallon from the Weston A. Price Foundation. We're here today to talk about yet another vitamin. Go figure. Dr. Michael Smith is on with me. Michael, go figure that all these minerals and vitamins turned out to be important when the medical orthodoxy told us that they really didn't mean anything.
Isn't that just amazing that what the body is based upon that we actually need every day? Is that just mind-boggling?
Well,
I don't know.
You know what really stifles me a lot? And you know, we're being facetious here, but you know what really stifles me the most? I have friends that, you know, executive producer's mom can't sleep very well.
Right.
And so my executive producer gave her, melatonin. Mm-hmm. And she did give her the melatonin and the mom fell asleep instantly in her chair. But yet they want to go back to some other sleep aid that she was using, which was either an over the counter like,
right.
Tylenol PM product or something like that. I forget what it was.
Yeah.
And then I have other people who will say things about melatonin and, well, that's a hormone. You know, you don't want to take hormones. And my attitude is everybody is so quick to take a drug, which is
foreign to the body.
Yet they're afraid to take vitamins like vitamin A. You know, they're afraid. Oh, well, vitamin A is toxic.
I know, it's crazy.
Yeah. And those things are common to the body.
Well, what would you rather put in your body? Something, because, you know, most of the problems that we have with the drugs comes down to a very simple concept of metabolism. Your body doesn't really have a way to metabolize all of these foreign chemicals that we are introducing in the forms of pills that are supposed to help us. But the body knows exactly what it's supposed to do with a hormone like melatonin or vitamin A or what we're going to talk about with vitamin K, because the body, this is what the body is built upon. The body has ways to metabolize these life-sustaining vitamins and minerals. So what do you want? Do you want to put something your body has no idea what to do with, in which is why it causes all these problems? Or do you want to put something in your body that your body recognizes as normal?
And we just did a show yesterday about surviving a toxic world.
Yep.
And you know, we were talking about the normal toxins you come in contact with, like phthalates are in every perfumed item nowadays.
Yep,
whether it's one of those room deodorizers or the perfume you put on your body. And you know, yet the doctor is giving us stuff that is toxic.
Well, I was just about to say. I mean, what about the toxins that are in these pills that are apparently for my health?
Right.
I mean, that's it really does come down to the fact, Carl, that the body doesn't know how to metabolize these things. You know, it's interesting. We're talking about this. Every day we run into people that call Life Extension, and they want to talk about the latest and greatest herb that was discovered in the Amazon or some weird chemical that was made in some lab. And again, I'm not saying that some of these things, Carl, don't have benefit to the human body. But the minute you bring up the basic vitamins and minerals, they almost kind of laugh at you. Like, you're still talking about vitamin A. Isn't that, like, old school?
Never mind old school, but I think they think it's ineffective.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of just not knowing, a lot of ignorance about what the basic vitamins and minerals do. But people will throw hundreds of dollars a month at the latest, you know, newest supplement out there that comes from some mud puddle in the Amazon, yet I can't convince people, I can't convince my own doctor friends to give their own patients enough vitamin D to prevent diabetes.
Gosh.
I don't get it. It drives me crazy.
Or how about magnesium? Well, look, you know what? We could sit here and do a list of it. Okay, so let's talk about what we were supposed to talk about, and that is vitamin K.
Right, yeah.
There's a lot of, you know, everybody's in love with vitamin D. We've talked about vitamin A and its importance. But meanwhile, right, there seems to be this grassroots going on out there, fervor about vitamin K. What's the magic in vitamin K?
Well, you know what, it's whenever somebody says, and we were just talking about this, Carl, whenever somebody talks about calcium and vitamin D, they should be also talking about vitamin K with that important mineral and that other very important vitamin. I mean, that's how important this vitamin is. Now, you know, where do you begin? It's kind of like, you know, we could do a whole seminar on the importance of vitamin K to the human body. There's two basic forms. Let's just start there because it's important that we understand how the vitamin K is divided in the body. There's vitamin K1 and vitamin K2. Pretty simple, right?
Right.
Vitamin K1 is called the phylloquinones. That's the vitamin that this is the form of vitamin K that actually helps your body to clot blood when you need to. It activates the coagulation proteins.
Right.
But then there's another subform of vitamin K called vitamin K2. And this is the menoquinones, or the menoquinins, however you want to say it, tomato,
okay,
tomato, doesn't really matter.
Okay.
But vitamin K2, although it plays somewhat of a similar role with K1, it can actually, vitamin K2 can help your blood clot a little bit, but that's not its main job. Its main job is incredibly important. It manages calcium. And as you know, calcium is so important. I mean, name me a body part, Carl. Just name me a body part. Your bicep, your heart, your eyes, your brain, your gut. Well, guess what? Calcium is a mineral that is intricate to all of those body parts in making those body parts function normally.
Right, right.
Calcium is important for muscle contraction, nerve conduction. I mean, you name it.
In muscle, it's called the calcium channel.
Yeah.
That actually causes the contraction. Magnesium causes the relaxation, and they have a reciprocal relationship.
So you get the point. Calcium is important, right?
Without
calcium, your muscles break down, your nerves break down. As a matter of fact, having too much calcium in your blood called hypercalcemia and not having enough in your blood called hypocalcemia can even be life-threatening.
In fact, if you've ever looked at the blood work that you've received back from your physician, what you'll notice about most of the assays is that they have a very, very broad range of what is considered normal. But
right,
when you look at calcium, has this very, very narrow range. It's like two clicks to the left, two clicks to the right is where you belong.
And
anything
problems
outside that, you're in trouble.
Absolutely. And the vitamin that basically manages that in your blood is vitamin K2, the menoquinins. Now, I know that sounds, some people, there's kind of a misconception. I want to make sure we clear this up. A lot of people, even some medical doctors, if you ask them what vitamin controls calcium, they say vitamin D. Now, vitamin D does one thing for calcium. It allows it to absorb from your gut into your blood. And that's about the only thing that that vitamin D really does as far as calcium is concerned. Once calcium is in your blood, now that calcium has to be regulated properly. This science word is called homeostasis. Basically, it's a balance between calcium in your bone and calcium in your bloodstream, so calcium can actually do its proper functions for like nerves and muscle. So it has to be a nice balance between the bone and the blood. And what controls that part of calcium is not vitamin D, it's vitamin K2. So what we have postulated here at Life Extension and theorized is that not only is low vitamin D detrimental to heart disease and some other problems, it's also low vitamin K2. We have actually listed this as a new cardiovascular risk factor, low vitamin K2. Think of it this way. If you don't have enough vitamin K2 in your system, what happens is calcium stays will start to build up in your bloodstream, and that can get involved with arterial plaque progression.
Ah.
So we've actually listed vitamin K2 as one of the heart disease daggers. We call them the daggers that actually stab the heart, the risk factors, that a lot of doctors don't even know about.
Think about this. Think about calcium for a second. Think about it. When you think about chalk, Now think about sand, silica. Think about these types of crystalline type minerals. Now think about sandblasting. You know what I mean? When they polish something, they sandblast it. Think about calcium excess calcium floating around your bloodstream. Think about what that does, how it damages things. It would cause inflammation, I would imagine, because these are sharp particles that are banging into everything.
It is. And you bring up a good point. Remember, let's just focus on the arteries for a moment in the heart. The main process involved in the development of an arterial plaque, Carl, is endothelial cell injury. That's where it all begins. The endothelial cells, those are the cells that line the inside of arteries. Very metabolically active cells. They actually keep the artery, open and constricting when it needs to constrict. Well, when you have a lot of buildup of minerals, including the calcium, we know that that can cause kind of more of a shearing effect on the endothelial cells and begin that endothelial damage, which begins the process of arterial plaque formation. Mm-hmm. So you're absolutely right when you think of it in that way. That these minerals, these shards of minerals can actually damage endothelial cells, and that's the beginning of plaque. So it goes back to this point that I'm making. Calcium has to be managed properly. Without managing calcium properly, your heart's going to be affected, your bones are going to be affected, your nerves are going to be affected. That's pretty much the top three organ systems we have. And guess, there's only one vitamin that really manages all that, and that's vitamin K2. Yet nobody talks about it.
You're right, but we are today. We're talking today with Dr. Michael Smith from Life Extension Foundation. We're going to take a quick commercial break. If you don't already receive Life Extension Magazine, you're really missing out on an amazing resource. It's a monthly magazine, and I read it from cover to cover, sometimes 2 and 3 times. I get show ideas from reading Life Extension Foundation's magazine. Go to superhumanradio.com. On the bottom right-hand side, you can get a free 6-month subscription to Life Extension Magazine. I promise you, you will look forward to receiving it every month. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to be telling you more about vitamin K and where you can find it in the food chain. We'll be right back. Hey, this is Carl. You know, quite often you're forced to choose between price and quality when it comes to purchasing peptides for research purposes. But you don't have to do that any longer, because now there's opresource.net. At OP Resource, you will find the finest authentic peptides available anywhere at the best prices available anywhere. I only trust my research to opresource.net, and you should too. Check them out today. opresource.net. Pre-workout products crank you up, then leave you flat and fatigued. Except now you're strung out from being overstimulated, hungry because it destroyed your appetite, and in a catabolic state because you can't eat for recovery and growth. That's why you need to get Lit Up from Applied Nutraceuticals. Lit Up is an original blend, not a copycat formula here. Lit Up delivers the perfect amount of energy, focus, pump, and intensity without feeling strung out or a loss of appetite for hours after your workout. Plus, Lit Up creates an anabolic environment by jacking testosterone levels through the roof. Get Lit Up today at appnut.com. Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low, low price when you use the coupon code SH Radio. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you. All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at OrbitNutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit OrbitNutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. OrbitNutrition.com, the best supplements in the universe are at OrbitNutrition.com. If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest protein bar banner ad
prepared to try them today.
One Testosterone was the king of muscle and strength building agents. Now there's One Andro RX. One Andro RX is pharmaceutical grade One Androsterone. It converts to One Testosterone in the body. The results are 7 times more anabolic than testosterone and can't convert to estrogen or DHT, so you never have to worry about bloating or water retention. One Andro RX will build lean muscle while helping you shed body fat. You can get One Andro RX by visiting IronMagLabs.com. The winter is upon us. Make this season count by adding some new muscle with One Andro RX.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking today with Dr. Michael Smith from Life Extension Foundation. We're talking about the importance demystifying vitamin K. So, Michael, talking about vitamin K, obviously it's cardioprotective. It helps to normalize serum calcium levels, which is very, very important. Does it have an effect on the adrenal glands? Because don't the adrenal, oh, no, the thyroid, because the thyroid produces calcitonin, right?
Yeah, we know that the effect that vitamin K, though, has when it comes to any thyroid effect is really at the level of the bone. And we know that it has to do with these matrix proteins, like you just mentioned, osteocalcin. What it does at the bone level is it takes these bone matrix proteins and activates them when there's enough calcium to make bone, and can deactivate them so the bone can release some of the calcium. So it's really working at that level of the bone, and that's really where calcium has its greatest effect on maintaining that idea of calcium homeostasis. It's really at that bone level.
Okay. These drugs that are promoted by mainstream pharmaceutical companies that are hawked by celebrities like Sally Fields and the like, that are designed to be once a month osteoporosis products. Do they resemble a long acting vitamin K2?
Well, no, because you have to look at what these drugs are doing. These drugs, like the one Sally Fields is on, is Boniva, for instance. That's the one that's in all the commercials.
Right.
These are bisphosphonates. And what these drugs do, there's two types of cells in the bone. There are osteoclasts and osteoblasts. And when there's an imbalance between what these two cells are doing, that's when you can start developing things like osteoporosis. So bisphosphonates are essentially turning on the bone-forming cells. However, the problem is this. If you don't have enough calcium, or enough vitamin K2, those bisphosphonates start to kind of mismanage how the calcium is being put into the bone. That's why bones become much more brittle when some of these people are on the bisphosphonates. That's why we're seeing some side effects in jaw bones and even in some fractures. Just because you help somebody increase the density of bone by playing around with these osteoplasts versus osteoclasts doesn't necessarily mean the bone is still remaining flexible and strong. That's the role of the vitamin K2. It helps to turn on and off these very important bone-making proteins that help to lay the calcium down properly in the bones. Now let me say something. I do use some of the bisphosphonates here and there. They do have their benefit, but I never use them without the right amount of calcium and the right amount of vitamin K2 every day, because that's going to help those drugs work better in laying out that matrix in the bone, so the bone remains strong yet flexible. That's the problem with the bisphosphonates, is they tend to make the bone too hard and rigid.
Ah.
So calcium and vitamin K2, vitamin K2 plays a major role in how that calcium is being laid out in that bone. It keeps the proper structure, the kind of like the matrix, if you will, of the bone. Without vitamin K2, you're just making it hard as a rock. You're making it rigid. It shatters more.
I got you. Okay.
So it's very important. So again, look how important that basic vitamin is.
Well, let's talk about that just for a second. The contradiction. People attribute osteoporosis with what? Fragile bones that end up breaking.
Right.
But the bisphosphonates actually may make strong bones that actually end up breaking.
Well, they make it, think of it this way. Think about, it's really about how, believe it or not, people don't understand this, and this is very important to understand, that bones themselves are actually flexible.
Right.
Bones aren't these rigid structures. Bones actually bend and give and take a little bit.
Right.
What we're showing is that if you don't have the right amount of vitamin K2, Even if you just throw a lot of calcium at somebody, the body will start taking that calcium, or if you're taking a bisphosphonate without vitamin K2, what happens is the body places that calcium and other minerals in the bone in such a haphazard way that it's almost like filling the bone up with cement in a sense.
Right.
So when you need to put pressure, that top down, that tensile pressure on the bone, instead of being able to bend and give and take a little bit, what does it do?
Cracks.
It shatters internally.
Right, right.
It cracks. It fractures.
Now, if you've been without adequate amounts of vitamin K2 and the bones have laid down this lack of matrix structure,
mm-hmm.
will taking K2 help that over time through bone turnover? And if so, doesn't bone turnover take like 7 years?
It's critical. As we get older, bone turnover does slow down, but we know that when you add, because they've done some of these studies in the UK.
I see what you're going to say already. When you add the right matrix on the outside, it's almost like the case hardening approach where the inside may be bad, but the outside is good.
And that's going to add some flexibility to the bone. They're actually, believe it or not, once again, I don't know why we think we're so far ahead of in medical advancements here in this country. And in the UK, in Germany, they're studying bisphosphonates, those drugs like Boniva, in women when they're doing the right amount of calcium, vitamin D, and now vitamin K2. What they're finding are, yes, they're improving bone density, but they're also improving that tensile strength, that flexibility of the bone, and it's because they're adding vitamin K2 to these studies. So that is critical. Vitamin K2 is all about how you manage calcium in the blood and how that calcium gets laid out, how it forms that matrix in the bone, and it adds to that strength, that flexibility. You got to do K2. K2 needs to be, so for now on, when your listeners, Carl, are out there and their doctor talks about calcium and their doctor talks about vitamin D, don't get me wrong, those are critical. They need to automatically start thinking about vitamin K2. That's how important this vitamin is. Yet nobody thinks about it. How often do you see articles about vitamin D? How often do you see articles about calcium? Don't get me wrong, we need those articles, but where is the information about the importance of vitamin K2? Not just to the bone, but also to the arterial plaque formation. If you don't manage calcium, you're not managing the most important mineral to the human body. And what vitamin does that? It's vitamin K2.
Okay, so where does K2 come from? Does the body synthesize it, or does it have to be taken in by the diet?
It pretty much has to come from the diet. We do get some vitamin K2 from sources, and I'll go through the exact sources and the amount, but we don't get much from our diet. The vitamin K2 you get from your diet mostly comes from animal protein.
And see, I always thought it was greens, because I know when people are taking blood thinners, they'll say, well, don't eat greens because it's high in K and it'll thicken your blood.
That's kind of a misunderstanding. What happens, now we're talking about where vitamin K2 comes from. See, the leafy green vegetables are loaded in the vitamin K1. The phylloquinone.
Right.
When you eat the K1, the body will convert the K1 into the K2. So yes, we get
Where does this occur? In tissue, in the liver? Where does this conversion
occur? It's going to occur in the liver and actually in bone tissue now we're showing. So when you, but bottom line is the leafy green vegetables are giving you the K1, and your body then has to convert that K1 into K2.
And obviously, now, as you get older, these conversions, like other conversions, start to slow down.
But you just stole my thunder there.
I'm sorry, Mike.
As we get older, because I joke, every time I do my lectures, I joke. I mean, everything in the human body basically just falls down, right? Our skin falls down, the wrinkles form, our hormones fall down. Anytime you're asking the body to do a conversion as we get older, it's just not going to do it, Carl.
Not as efficiently. What happens is it diminishes.
So when you're taking all these leafy green vegetables, the question is, even if you're eating, I mean, because most of you, I would have to believe that your listeners, Carl, are a lot like Life Extension customers.
Yes, they are.
I mean, they're pretty well up to date on good diet, good exercise, so they're probably getting their leafy greens, okay? They're probably getting a decent amount. The question is, as we get older, even when you're taking care of your body, the amount of K2 that you're actually making is probably pretty small. We believe that from leafy greens or even directly from some of the animal proteins like chicken, you're only probably getting around 8 to 10 micrograms of vitamin K2. But is that enough? Do you actually know what the effective dose
is? No, what is the effective dose?
It's 1,100 micrograms a day.
So a little bit over a gram of K2
A little over a gram of
Oh, no, no, 1,100 micrograms, you said. A little bit over a milligram.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, so a little over, let's go get to make sure we get
sorry about
okay.
that. Sorry
get
about
the units
that.
Right. So, yeah, so we believe that you need about 1,100 micrograms, that's 1.1 milligrams, every day of vitamin K2. But think about it, you know, your chicken, your spinach, your leafy greens, you're only getting maybe 10 micrograms of vitamin K2 from a serving. So, what's the end result of that? A major epidemic in vitamin K2 deficiency.
And is there any evidence that K2 was higher in vegetables back in the day, just like potassium was higher and magnesium was higher? Is there any evidence that we had a greater abundance of the raw materials in food back in the day?
I think that's a safe assumption. We know that. Do you know, Carl? There was in. I'm going to see if you know what year the year that the first soil survey came out in this country.
I wouldn't hazard a guess, but I have to believe the first soil survey will probably happen in the 60s, as late as the 60s.
It was actually the first government-run soil surveys that we had happened in about a 15-year time span from 1915 to about 1930.
Okay.
And during this time, they declared that our soils were depleted of all major vitamins, minerals, carbonates, all of the basic building blocks of nutrient-rich foods were gone out of the soils.
The last
official survey they did was in 1930. It was about a 15-year time span. They published the report in 1930. What have we done since then about our soils since 1930?
Nothing. We've actually depleted it more. If anything, we're only putting nitrogen back in it, and that's
it. Yeah, no. And so what happened is we ended up after the Dust Bowl era. We started planting lots of soy. Products which put some of this nitrogen and magnesium back in, but that's been probably depleted. That was about the only thing we did. It was about the only thing that came around that was good from the Dust Bowl era was planting soy. Soy does add some of these minerals back in, but that was a long time ago. Since then, we have done absolutely nothing. I hate to say this. This scares Life Extension members when I say this, Carl. Even if you think you're eating good, healthy-grown vegetables from healthy, organic soil. I got to tell you, just because it's organic soil today, you don't know what that soil was 30, 40 years ago.
Well, you know what the takeaway of this is? Any farming environment, if it has been farmed commercially or small family farm, if it has been farmed for decades, the soil is gone. Now, if you want to grow in your backyard, you probably have a better shot of having more robust fruits and vegetables than an organized farming environment. Would you say that
absolutely, that's true. And also remember, too, just because you're buying your food from an organic soil, you know, that soil, most states will declare that a soil is organic after no pesticides have been in that soil for about 20 years. It doesn't mean that soil never had pesticides.
Ah.
Keep that in mind. Just because it's organic
and some pesticides,
it's always been organic.
Some pesticides have a 100-year half-life.
Yeah, I've seen even longer than that, and not even that, the plastic, the other toxins. So organic does not necessarily mean that soil actually is organic.
Oh, boy. I don't know what to eat anymore. Okay, listen, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking more about vitamin K with Dr. Michael Smith from Life Extension Foundation. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5388. And mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio. Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizol, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizol works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com,
GetDS.com or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
The fourth most abundant mineral in the body, magnesium, is responsible for 300 biochemical reactions, normal muscle and nerve function, proper heart rhythm, healthy immune system, and proper hormone levels. But most find taking oral magnesium problematic. Get optimum magnesium levels with transdermal magnesium oil from MikeMahler.com. Magnesium absorbed through the skin can elevate DHEA levels and a variety of other reactions that can increase energy, reduce muscle soreness, lose stomach fat, and ramp up heart health. Go to MikeMahler.com today. That's Mike, M-A-H-L-E-R.com.
Pre-workout products crank you up, then leave you flat and fatigued. Except now, you're strung out from being overstimulated, hungry because it destroyed your appetite, and in a catabolic state because you can't eat for recovery and growth. That's why you need to get Lit Up from Applied Nutraceuticals. Lit Up is an original blend, not a copycat formula here. Lit Up delivers the perfect amount of energy, focus, pump, and intensity without feeling strung out or a loss of appetite for hours after your workout. Plus, Lit Up creates an anabolic environment by jacking testosterone levels through the roof. Get Lit Up today at appnut.com.
I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it and you'll be a believer too.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Yeah, this one right here goes out to all the babies.
Welcome back
mamas,
to Superhuman Radio. We're talking today about vitamin K2 mainly. We're talking about vitamin K, but the magic seems to be
K2.
Right. Talk with Dr. Michael Smith from Life Extension Foundation. You can get your copy of Life Extension Magazine by visiting my website, superhumanradio.com. Down bottom right-hand corner, you can either call in the toll-free number or click through and order a free six-month subscription of the single best magazine dedicated to longevity and health you'll find anywhere.
I always tell everybody, Carl, it reads more like a journal.
Yeah, it's really a great magazine. And don't get me wrong. I mean, you guys sell supplements, but you sell supplements. You find the science first.
Right.
And then you fill the hole for the need. It's not like you create the supplement first and then go out and extrapolate.
Which is one of the problems our pharmaceutical friends do a lot. But
right.
Anyway, that's another, that's a whole other topic. Hey, Carl, I wanted to, you know, the soil survey we were just talking about?
Yes.
I wanted to go ahead and let your listeners know that this was I presented this recently at a lecture, and I wanted you to this was and they can even look this up themselves. It's really scary, and then we can move on to talk about K2 more specifically. It was actually called the National Co-op Soil Survey. It was published in 1930, and it was a joint venture between the Department of Agriculture and the Land Management Services. And this is what they uncovered. They used the word, now you have to understand because this is important. When they published this report, they defined what the word depleted mean. All right, because depleted could actually mean a lot of different things when you're putting a number to something.
Right.
You know, what does depleted really mean? They defined depleted as about less than 10% what should be there. Less than 10% of what should be there. And this is what they found was depleted, less than 10%. Nitrogen and iron. Carbonate. All trace elements, and then humus, which is the stable organic matter. In the conclusion of this co-op soil survey, they basically said that our soils were basically already, in 1930, dirt. And there's a difference between dirt and soil.
Is there any way to revive? Well, that's a different show. Okay, let's talk more about let's talk more about K2.
Yeah.
You said that K1 is converted in the liver. Is this part of the enzyme cascade, the P450 cytochrome? What's responsible for converting it? Do you know?
No, I'm not sure. I'd have to actually look up the specifics of that. We know that in liver, in probably all the other organ systems like kidney, we also know at the bone, maybe even within the endothelial cell themselves, that there is a conversion of K1 into K2. We know that this conversion as we get older does not happen as well. And if you keep in mind, those, like, let me give you an example here. Take something like spinach. Spinach has about, assuming, now this is the big assumption, Carl, assuming that you are converting K1 into K2 properly, if you eat around 3 to 4 ounces of spinach, and that's a lot of spinach, 3 to 4 ounces of spinach, you're only getting about 10 micrograms out of that serving.
Okay.
So that's assuming you're making that conversion
to
liver, kidney,
and bone. So it's clear that you have to supplement with K2.
That's the bottom line, because the effective dose to put that calcium into the bone, to allow it to come out in the blood properly, basically to manage calcium homeostasis, the effective dose is 1,100 micrograms a day, which would be about 125 servings a day of chicken, if you're willing to eat all that. I don't know, most people probably aren't. So it means supplementation is key, you're right.
Okay, so is it adequate to take the effective dose, or should people be taking more, given the fact that they've been devoid of K2 for possibly decades?
No, I think just going right to the effective dose is fine. It is an oil-based vitamin. Its half-life in the body is pretty long, around 72. I'd have to check the numbers, but its half-life is long. So you don't need to worry about, oh my gosh, I'm so deficient. No, the body builds it up pretty quickly. We don't have reliable blood testing for vitamin K like we do vitamin D. But I would just be happy if most people just started supplementing with about 1,100 micrograms a day. Now, here's the thing, though. Make sure you can't, that 1,100 micrograms comes in two different forms. Vitamin K, Carl, is further broken down into two subforms. It's called MK4 and MK7. So you have vitamin K. There's vitamin K1 and K2, right?
Right.
Then you have vitamin K2 is broken down into these subforms. And the two most important subforms are MK4. MK stands for the menaquinone or menoquinone. You have MK4 and MK7. You want about 1,000 micrograms of MK4 and about 100 micrograms of the MK7. Those two together, that's the 1,100 micrograms of K2. So you got to make sure whatever supplement you're taking, you got to look on that label. I joke with people. We're so whenever we buy a product, Carl, we're so focused on that front label that's selling us the product.
Right.
No one turns it over and looks at the most important part.
Right.
That back label. You got to make sure your K2 is divided into MK4, 1,000 micrograms per serving, MK7, 100 micrograms.
And see, this was my next question because I learned a long time ago about cyanocobalamin and methylcobalamin, and I know that you just go right for the methyl because your body doesn't always convert it to methyl once you get older.
Right.
And so you answered my question ahead of time. So really, these are the fractions you have to take. A milligram of MK4 and 100 micrograms of MK7, and that's the best ratio. Now,
yes,
One other thing about the supplement, though,
when you're looking back on that back label, when you're looking for the MK4, MK7, we also have found, and I think we're the only company that does this, we also found that the fat-soluble form of vitamin C, ascorbyl palmitate, actually helps to preserve the oil base, that fatty nature of the vitamin K2 itself. So we added 50 milligrams of ascorbyl palmitate, which preserves that vitamin K. Without it, vitamin K being that true oil, vitamin K is one of those few vitamins that must be in an oil form. Because of that, it can go bad faster than other water-based vitamins. A little bit of that fat-soluble vitamin C prevents the oxidation of vitamin K2. I think we're the only company
that
does
that. So when it's on the shelf, in other words, we're talking
Absolutely,
about.
Yeah. But that's important because, there's some products out there that could be sitting on that shelf for a long time.
I know.
So make sure you have some of that ascorbyl palmitate.
What about the form that it is? That it comes in other words, is it a pressed tablet or a capsule with loose powder in it? I know that I started to get the religion about that when they use water or liquid to press these tabs. Sometimes that starts them to go bad right from the get-go as well.
Any time you add a level of processing, you're going to damage the potency and the freshness of that product, period. Anytime we process something, we're adding oxidative stress to that process. So that's going to really damage those fats. What do fats do in the body? They become oxidized. So any sort of processing like that I don't like, because what are you doing? You're oxidizing the oil. So that's why we go the opposite end. We protect the oil. Vitamin K should come in a pure, dark-colored soft gel. The light can even damage the oil. That's why it should be a dark, soft gel. You should barely be able to see through it. It should be oil-based, and it should have the ascorbyl palmitate.
Okay, now, is vitamin... Let me see where we are. We have 2 minutes. We may have to answer this one after the break if it's a long answer.
Okay.
Is vitamin K2, both MK4 and MK7, easily absorbable in the gut?
Yeah, good news is we do believe that the vitamin K4 and MK7 are both easy absorbable. Have a little, you know, if you have some... a little bit of fat in the gut that will also help to absorb it. But here's what we did at Life Extension. We actually, besides the vitamin C for freshness, we actually also added what is called an MCT. An MCT stands for medium chain triglyceride.
Right.
The medium chain triglyceride oils are very good for the absorbability of true oil-based vitamins like vitamin K, specifically MK4 and MK7. So at Life Extension, we got the freshness with the ascorbyl palmitate, and we got the absorption part covered with the MCT, the medium chain triglyceride. We got you covered right there.
Okay, excellent. Okay. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take an early commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to delve into some other vitamins, I think. I think we pretty much covered vitamin K, right?
Well, sure. If you want to move on, whatever, I'll just follow your
lead. Well, I wanted to start talking about the symbiotic relationship between some of these oil-based vitamins. You know, vitamin – and actually, I'd like to challenge you and ask you if vitamin K isn't a hormone, like we know that vitamin D really is. It really is a hormone. I mean, it sounds to me like vitamin K is a hormone, and I'll tell you why.
Okay, well, let's get into that.
Typical of hormones is a downline metabolite function.
Right.
So let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll cover some more ground on vitamin K. We'll be right back.
Muscle building magic happens when you put the right stack together. Iron Mag Labs takes the guesswork out of stacking with Methadrol Extreme. Methadrol Extreme combines three of the most powerful legal anabolics in the world: dimethazine, superdrol, and decadrol. The combination of these three agents will ratchet up strength while packing on slabs of muscle and dissolving fat. Don't wait too long, because Methadrol Extreme will only be available for a limited time and is sure to disappear quickly. Go to ironmaglabs.com today and get your bottle of Methadrol Extreme.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects: estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscles N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at needtobuildmuscle.com.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com.
LG Science's pre-workout performance enhancer Anadrolic State GT has grown exponentially in popularity in recent months. In July, Anadrolic State GT was named 2010 number one pre-workout product by bestrecovery.com, as well as nominated as best pre-workout product by bodybuilding.com. We here at LG Sciences want to give back to you, which is why, for a limited time, we will be giving customers a free 330-gram bottle of BC plus EAA hydrolyzed peptides with each purchase of Anadrolic State GT from bodybuilding.com. That's right. Order Anadrolic State GT at bodybuilding.com now and get your free BC plus EAA. Offer only available while supplies last.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low, low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
Finally, a Bovine supplement right from the source used in the original study. Phytoserms 347 is here. Bovine natalensis has been shown to dramatically increase testosterone levels in clinical research, but sourcing the real ingredient has proven near impossible. Now, Ruthless Supplements has done the impossible. Each capsule of Phytoserms 347 has the exact amount of pure Prolensis TM Bovine natalensis required to produce a dramatic increase in total and free testosterone. You can't get this anywhere else but at Ruthless Supplements. Visit RLSSupplements.com today.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. That was an unusually long break, but that's because I was on hold with Walgreens. Sorry about that. I really was. I ran out of my aromatase inhibitors, and I am had to wait for my physician to call them in, and they still don't have the prescription right. Never fails. I should never do that during a break. I actually had I literally physically dragged a spot and dropped it into the break when I realized the call was going longer than I anticipated. Okay. So see, even I am not immune to, you know, having to deal with the medical orthodoxy. You would think I would, considering the high stature that I have in the anti-aging community.
Right.
You would think that physicians would be FedExing me stuff, but they don't. I still have to go to Walgreens, so there you go. Anyway, okay, I want to challenge you.
Okay.
I think that vitamin D was mislabeled. It is a hormone, and we pretty much know that it is a hormone now, correct?
Vitamin D. D as in dog, yes.
Yes, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Vitamin A and vitamin K are probably hormones as well.
Well, let's think about this, though. While we were on break, so I went back to the article that we wrote here at Life Extension last year on vitamin K2. And although we do state that the vitamin K1 converts to K2 in some of the organs, most of it does convert actually in the gastrointestinal tract. So in order now, so you know that a definition of a hormone is that it's made somewhere and it travels to another target, right?
Right. It's a messenger. So, it's basically a messenger.
So what you're thinking is because K2 is converted in the gut, in the liver, and some other organs, and it travels throughout the body to have its effect throughout the endothelial cells, for instance, you're thinking that that's more along the lines of a hormone.
Right. Does it have to have a receptor? Is there a vitamin D receptor, for instance?
Well, vitamin D, yes. We have identified a vitamin D receptor on every cell line in the human
body.
Okay,
I'm going to say today on this show, let's see, what's
I know
today?
Where you're going with it.
What's today? Today is February 22nd, 2011. Hopefully somebody 30 years from now will say, you know that guy Carl, you know that idiot that used to have the radio show? He predicted they would discover a vitamin K receptor on the cell, and sure enough, they have.
Yeah, yeah. We know that vitamin K's active sites are mainly on these bone matrix proteins, like osteocalcin, for instance.
Right.
So whether or not there's these receptors like vitamin D, which would then really convince me it has more of a hormonal type role.
Right.
And then maybe you have something there. But until that's discovered, like vitamin D receptors have been discovered, I don't know, Carl. I don't think people are going to want to relabel this.
But you know what? They, like you said, until they discover this... What do I want to call it? This receptor in some future date. I got distracted because I was looking at the Weston A. Price Foundation. Weston A. Price believed that vitamin K was the X factor.
Mm-hmm.
And what he discussed about the X factor, back in the day was that this was a vitamin-like activator that played an influential role in the utilization of minerals, protection from tooth decay, growth and development, reproduction, protection against heart disease, and the function of the brain. Now, this was back in 1945 he predicted this. What did you just say a little while ago about bone, about the heart? And surely when we talk about bone, we talk about teeth. We talk about teeth are made of calcium.
Well, and you bring up a good point because we don't fully understand the total effects that vitamin K2 has. We're studying the effects that it has on calcium homeostasis, but what are some of the other trace minerals that are reliant on vitamin K2 for proper functioning throughout the body? So, but even beyond that, Carl, don't forget this one simple thing. K2 calcium's the most important mineral. It's not everybody, when they think of calcium, they think about bone, but calcium is critical for your heart to beat.
Every cell.
It's critical for the nerve to fire. So any cell that's active like that, metabolically active, calcium is critical for, and the vitamin that controls it is K2. It's not vitamin D. Vitamin D plays a role in getting calcium from your gut into your blood, but it's vitamin K2 that controls it, that manages it, that distributes it throughout the body, that gets it in the bone, that layers it in the bone properly. That's the role of vitamin K2. So I got to tell you, I want people from now on, when we start writing about calcium and how many supplements out there do you see with calcium and vitamin D, we have to start talking about vitamin K2 in the same at the same level, at that same importance that we do of those of calcium and D. It's that important. And, of course, life extension's been, we've been writing articles about it for a long time, but this mainstream medicine is just so, matter of fact, mainstream medicine is still telling people not to eat leafy greens if you're on Coumadin.
Yeah, I know.
And where is that leaving people? We now know Coumadin does what to the bones?
Oh, it leaches them.
It does. It causes actually what's called calcinosis. It draws the calcium out of the bone. So you have all these people on Coumadin who are told not to take any form of vitamin K, because remember, where does vitamin K2 come from most people? Most people out there, Carl, do not take supplements.
Right.
Most people rely on, you know, your basic neighborhood food store. So where are they getting their vitamin K from? They're getting it from their leafy greens. But if their doctor says don't eat leafy greens, what's happening to their vitamin K2 levels?
They're going through the floor.
They're pretty much non-existent. Existence. So you have a drug that is causing demineralization of the bones. You have no K2 to manage calcium properly, and they have no vitamin D to absorb the calcium. No wonder we're having such issues with that drug called Coumadin.
But is vitamin K2, you said it has a mild coagulating effect, right?
It does, yes. All of the quinone group of vitamins, whether it's phylloquinone, which is K1, right, or whether it's menaquinin or menoquinone, however you want to say that, for K2, they all will have an ability to, all of these quinones have the ability to activate some of those coagulation proteins that are involved in forming the fibrin clot. However, K1 just simply has a more affinity to those coagulation proteins than K2 does. So if you think that if you're on Coumadin and you're taking a bunch of K2, you still got to watch that INR, which is the main blood test we look for how effective Coumadin is. You still got to watch that because K2 a little bit, but not so much so. We actually developed a product called Low Dose K, which is all K2, and we want our Coumadin customers to be using that product. They still follow their INR, but actually what we've noticed, Carl, is people that take in the right amount of K2 on Coumadin actually stabilize INR. They stabilize their drug dose. They can even use a little bit less of the drug and still get the right blood thinning effect they need.
Okay, let's talk real quick about testing. You said that there is no true laboratory test at this time for
right.
K2. Obviously, what most doctors rely on is the coagulating effect of K, and so they do a ProTime or prothrombin test that most people who are on warfarin or Coumadin must undergo almost daily quite often.
Right.
This tells us nothing about K2 and its fractions.
Well, we have some surrogate markers though that we can test.
Like
we
what?
Don't we can't test directly. At least there's no, as far as I know, reliable testing mechanisms for vitamin K. But what you can do is test some of the proteins that vitamin K. Just like when you test blood PT time, for instance, it's basically a surrogate marker for K1 for the most part. How K1 is activating those proteins, right?
Okay.
Well, there's surrogate markers for K2. One is osteocalcin.
Uh-huh.
Osteocalcin is activated by K2. Number two is it's a urine test called DPD. DPD is a matrix-type protein. As DPT levels go up in the urine, that means you don't have enough K2. So we do have these surrogate markers, and it's really the best that we can do right now to see whether or not somebody needs vitamin K2.
DPD, David Patrick David, DPD.
Yes, DPD.
So can I ask my physician, can I say to my physician, look, I want to know what my K2 levels are. Can I be tested for DPD? Will he do it?
He's going to laugh at you because he's going to go, you're not a woman. Because most doctors still believe that osteoporosis and DPD in the urine is a woman thing.
So why isn't so? Okay, so here's my question: Who is the forerunner in this type of stuff? LEF.
Yes,
when is
yes,
LEF
we,
coming out with the K2 test?
Well, there are some companies out there that offer a vitamin type profile, but we just haven't found that one that's reliable. But okay. We do believe in the reliability of our DPD testing and our osteocalcin testing.
So you offer DPD and
absolutely. We'll do it for you, Carl, even though you're not a woman.
Thank you. Why do women always have all the fun? You know what I mean? Yeah. Cyndi Lauper always sang about
they
girls just want to have
That's
fun.
That's why, Carl. They deserve it.
That's it. That's right. Okay, so any idea, and I know quite often you're not on this side of the table, but any idea what it costs to have a DPD or an osteocalcin test through Life Extension Foundation, if you are a member?
Yeah, if you're a member. That's one question I cannot
answer. Yeah, I know.
All you have to do is go to lifeextension.com and search DPD, and it pulls it right on up.
Boy, oh boy, we only have a couple minutes before, let's see here, isn't it lef.org also?
LEF.org or lifeextension.com, they go to the same spot.
Yeah, let's see, here we go.
So if you search
DPD
that.
DPD test,
mm-hmm.
Enter, search for me, articles come up, okay, deoxypyridinoline.
Yep, that's it.
Add to cart. Let's see what it says.
You're probably making this very difficult here.
Why? Why?
I don't know, because I just know you.
No. Why, you think you could have done it better?
I'm doing it right now, but I'm going to beat
it. It asks me if I am doing it.
So right now, we could do the DPD urine.
$91 for members, $122 for non-members. There you go. Very reasonable price to find out.
Yeah, very reasonable pricing. And, of course, we have a whole host of doctors here that can help you understand what this test means. Remember, it really is – it's basically a surrogate marker, right? It's showing you that if DPD is too high in your urine, you don't have enough K2. Because when you have enough K2, you're going to keep those matrix proteins
in the bone,
not dumping them into your blood and then into your urine. So it's not a perfect test,
right.
But it's a good surrogate marker, and it's one that we like.
And you know, and you know, and you, and your people know – what the ideal values are, I would imagine you deliver that with a range, saying if you're in this area here, you're doing okay.
Yes, and we teach, one of my jobs here is to train the doctors to make sure we all know what we believe is that optimal range for all of the blood tests that we have, not just the DPD. As you know, Life Extension has some more optimal ranges for things. We don't always go by the traditional numbers, based all on good science, and our doctors can cover that with you. So,
okay. All right. So there you go. If you are interested in learning more about your K2 levels, go to lef.org and search for DPD, David Paul David Test, mm-hmm. and you'll see the link to it. It's $91 for members, and it pays to be a member. It really does. They have such great information when you're a member. You do have access to Dr. Michael Smith's webinars that he puts on.
Every month.
What's coming up soon on the webinar?
Well, I just did one on the 4 steps for every diabetic, which was a big hit. And the next one I'm going to do is on metabolic syndrome, how to combat the medical consequences of things like high triglycerides, low HDL, how to really manage those things naturally. It's very simple. I'm a firm believer that most of our chronic diseases that we deal with in this country, like metabolic syndrome, are what we put in our mouth. And so my theory is, if these things happen because of what we put in our mouth, then we can treat it with what we put in our mouth.
Skidmore College is in the process of publishing a study in April, and they did a prior to publication interview with me, Dr. Paul Ossiero. They took obese individuals and they put them in 3 groups. One group got 60 grams of whey protein a day and were told, mm-hmm. don't change anything else about your life. Eat what you've been eating. These are all obese people, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Exercise the way you've been exercising or don't exercise. Don't do anything different. Just have a 20-gram protein drink in the morning, in the afternoon, and the evening, and this is pure whey isolate. The other group was asked to exercise, and they were given specific whole-body routines to do 3 times a week. Nothing heroic. And add 60 grams of whey protein. And then the other group was asked to add 60 grams of whey protein, exercise, and lifestyle changes, which included yoga, meditation, and a couple other things. Well, lo and behold, everybody thought that the magic was going to be in the exercise group and above.
All right.
The group that was taking just 60 grams of whey protein a day over the course of a 16-week study changed nothing else about their lifestyle. They lost 3.5 kilograms of fat. Their blood pressure dropped completely. Their lipid panel corrected, and their blood sugar started to drop. Now, obviously, blood sugar takes longer. Insulin resistance takes longer. It takes sometimes 6 months of corrective procedures to really arrest
yep.
insulin resistance. But just by adding 60 grams of whey protein a day. Now, I couldn't believe this. And the reason I love this study is because everybody out there is, you know, oh, you know, you have to do this. No, you don't have to do. How about just adding protein to your diet?
I think I would love to do a show with you on the benefits of whey protein and specifically what are called the bioactive milk peptides.
Yes.
And what those things can do for mood, memory, for heart. There's a whole show right there, Carl, where we can really dive in to how I believe, physiologically speaking, our bodies run at a more efficient metabolic rate on protein.
Yes, absolutely.
Period. And we could definitely talk about that and the benefits of these peptides.
Dr. Smith, I had a scientist named Dr. Amy Anderson on who had done a study on older individuals, 70 and above, and they looked at lifespan in these individuals and broke them down by food groups, and they used certain food groups to label them. The protein eaters were called meat eaters.
Yeah.
The high cereal group, you know, that actually ate cereal 2, 3, 4 times a day were called cereal group. The group that gravitated towards confections and cookies and pastries and stuff, they were called the sugar group. And then there were other subgroups as well.
Right.
But needless to say, the group that ate more protein was just eating 18% more protein than the other groups, and they outlived everybody in the study.
So you're telling me that what we put in our mouths can actually make a major role in how long we're going to live?
Shh.
Are you telling me
Michael,
that? Are you sure?
Michael, be quiet. Don't say it too loud until I write my book.
Yeah, okay, I won't say that. Not only that, I actually think that what we put in our mouth can actually treat things, and that's the whole webinar I'm going to be doing on the metabolic syndrome, that really, it truly, food is our medicine and medicine is our food.
You know, I was just going to say, you know who you need to look up? There was a famous guy.
Yeah, his name was
Hippopotamus?
Hippopotamus?
Hippocrates. That's
yeah.
And he's the guy.
He said something like that, right?
How long ago
was that?
Yeah, right. So here we go. We're going to go back. Hey, Dr. Smith, thanks for being on Superhuman Radio today.
My pleasure, Carl. Anytime. I always enjoy your show.
And we'll plan another show soon. And we'll see everybody tomorrow with another episode of Superhuman Radio. Tune in then.